You can be seated. Yes. Yeah. The second thing. The second thing that I hate is when it's during a message and people are talking. Yeah. When it's giving reverence to God's word or to God and people are. Yes. Yes. All right. All right, everybody listen up for just a minute. Stay, you're going to buckle with me for 20 minutes. And I promise you, in 20 minutes, you'll be done. All right? So pretend I'm your favorite TV show. Pretend I'm Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat that you will scroll through for 20 minutes without even thinking about breaking your attention from it. So just pretend I'm that for the next 20 minutes, and I promise you, 20 minutes will be done. So our mission statement here at the church, if you've been with us for any period of time, you know this, but our mission statement is this: to change our community and our world by growing passionate followers of Christ that love God and love people. So that's Harmony's mission statement. That's Harmony Baptist Church's mission statement. That's what we as a church want to do. That's what we as a church want to figure out. That's what we as a church want to proclaim to everybody around us. So how does a youth ministry fit in underneath of that? Because that's a very broad statement. In fact, the church has a four-step process. It's love, grow, serve, go. And it's this idea that we'll love each other, we're going to grow together, we're going to serve in our body, and then we're going to go out and tell other people about Jesus Christ. And it's all reflecting off of the mission statement. Well, our house values reflect our mission statement. We want to be a place that we grow passionate followers of Jesus Christ so that we can change our community and our world by loving God and loving people. So to do that, then how do we accomplish such a feat? Well, we have our house values. The one we talked about last week was Jesus is better. And anything you pair up against Jesus, if you were gonna, you remember those old punching robots, you know, that you like had the little things, you hit them and they swung and the head popped up, right? Okay, so if you're gonna put that and it's Jesus and it's anything else, it's like anything else doesn't have arms, okay? Jesus is going to win every time because Jesus is better. So that is our number one house value. That's who we are here, and that's who we will proclaim, and that's what we will talk about for the rest of my time here, especially. It'll be forever, don't worry. But my rest of my time here will be that Jesus is better. But then we have other house values. Tonight, we want to talk about the second one. The second one, and by the way, this is not in order as far as importance. Jesus is better is the first one. That's important. The rest of them all kind of circle around Jesus is better. And that's this. Actually, before we go to it, don't go to the slide yet. I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. And I'll read these to you because we're going to be quick. I told you 20 minutes. I got to keep it to it now. I can't lie from the pulpit. So Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." So here's something that is going to be about our youth group. Here's something that we will preach, that we will proclaim, that we will encourage, that we will challenge, that we will, not discipline, it makes it sound like something terrible, but that we will take seriously here is we are going to be a place that speaks highly. We are going to be a place that no matter what you have issues with somebody else in the room, we will always be a place that speaks highly about one another. Because down here and upstairs, Harmony as a whole is a family. And obviously, within your own family, you have issues with your relatives, right? Like, you don't always get along with your brother or sister. You don't always get along with your parents. There's going to be something at some point in time that bothers you about your family. But here's the end game, is that your family is still your family. And when someone steps up and starts speaking badly about your family, then it doesn't matter what you have against your family at that point. You have nothing against your family at that point. Because as soon as someone else starts speaking badly about them, now it's, whoa, 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 that's my family. And you don't talk about them like that. That's what we're going to be here. We're going to be a place that speaks highly. Now, I know it's funny how God challenges us with stuff the night we need it. You can go to the next slide now. It's amazing how people, even in coming in and hearing people bickering and fighting and cursing at one another, and we're in a place where we are going to be a youth group that speaks highly. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your background is. I don't care about how bad of a night you're having. We will always be a place that speaks highly. Now, why would we always speak highly? Because Jesus is better than anything that you could be feeling at that moment, than any issue you could have up against somebody. It's an armless robot that's trying to go into a fight. That's what it is as compared to matching up against Jesus. So that's why in Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. In other words, it's always supposed to be a gracious response. I understand. In family, you have issues. But here at 412, we will proclaim, we will preach, and we will be a place where everyone speaks highly about each other. You know how that makes it easy? Is you can look at your friend and say, hey, you should come to 412. And not have to worry about what people will say about them or say to them about you or anything like that. We should be a place where people can come and be free from and rid of the idea that they will be talked about here. So we're always going to be a place where we speak highly. Number two, 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12 talks about this, but we're going to be a place where we enjoy life. 1 Peter 3, it's going to be a couple verses here. Hold on. Chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. In other words, insult for insult. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So he goes on saying, yeah, by the way, it's really dark. I'm not sure why it came out that way, but it does say we enjoy life, I promise. So as he's going through, he's talking about you have to be of one mind. So we're going to be a place of one mind where Jesus is better, where we speak highly about each other. But then in verse 10, he says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So here we're going to be a place where we speak highly because Jesus is better. But we're also going to be a place that we enjoy life. Okay, we just went outside and pushed wheelbarrows around cones and then ate nasty things. Okay. Now some of you are like, oh, I didn't enjoy it. But we are going to enjoy life. We are on Saturday are going to have a video road rally where we take you to do crazy things at random places. Okay. We enjoy life here. We will always be a youth group. I enjoy life. I don't care if you do or not. I enjoy life. And so therefore, we're going to enjoy life as a group. If you want to be like all sullen and life is terrible, then go stare at a wall. But here, we are going to enjoy life. We're going to have fun. It's going to be a great time. So we have activities. We have things like that because we want to be a place that enjoys life. Now, let me make a distinction here. Enjoying life is not being stupid, okay? Because here's what a lot of people would have you think. They would have you think that enjoying life means that you have to party with everybody else. Or enjoying life means that you have to have premarital sex. Or enjoying life means you've got to get a drag of the cigarette or of the joint or whatever. You've got to do this or you've got to do that in order for you to enjoy life. But let me tell you something. All of those things are not enjoying. Like, they're pleasurable for a season, but the season ends. In fact, I had a previous youth group member who had a relationship issue that lasted long back in the youth group. That's why I say don't date. But anyways, lasted long back in the youth group. And just the other day was having a conversation with me about how this person will constantly text whenever that person is drunk. Like at 3 a.m. is when they'll text them and say, hey, are you awake? Hey, are you awake? Are you awake? And the issue was not because they were drunk and your mind goes to, oh, it's a booty call. It wasn't what it was because they were in another state, okay? The idea of the text was this. After all the partying subsided, after all of the fun stopped, there was pure loneliness. Because enjoying life in that sense only lasts for a few moments. You vomit it up later, but it lasts for a few moments. And then all of a sudden there's this loneliness of, this isn't as great as it's cracked up to be. So we're going to enjoy life, but not in a stupid way, not in a way that ruins your life, because you can't truly enjoy a life if you've ruined it. Now, granted, God gives grace to those who have messed up. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I've ruined my life. God gives grace. But to live in such a way that you don't enjoy it in the sense of biblical enjoyment is a waste of your life. So number three, Philippians 2 and verse 4 talks about, and we're going to talk about it here in just a minute, about how no one sits alone. Philippians 2. In verse 4, if you've got your electronic Bible, if not, don't worry about it because I'll read it and be done. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And in fact, in verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other or count others better than themselves. So Paul is using Christ as an example in his writing, and he's saying, Christ was humble enough to look at and see the needs of other people and not his own needs. Did Christ have needs? Yeah. Okay, when Christ was being crucified, I'm sure one of his necessary needs was to stop the pain. Like, I'm sure when you've been in it, okay, I played sports throughout high school and college. When I was in the midst of, we ran quadruple suicides at times. So it was down, and then it was like, so it was four suicides in a row. And after about the, in the middle of the third suicide, I was good dying. You know, like, it was kind of one of those things where just like, I could die and be happy because at least it's rest. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to like get away from the pain. So I'm sure when Christ was on the cross or was going through the beating prior to the cross, there was a thought of, man, it'd be nice if this went away. But instead, because of who you are, in light of who God is, Christ stayed and died on the cross for you and for me. So Paul is using Christ as his example because Christ looks out and sees the needs of people, not what he wants, but what he needs to have happen, and he dies on the cross for us. So he's using him as an example. And so he goes on to say that we then ought to put others' interests before our own. Others' interests before our own. We all have interests. Okay, you at school have an interest that you would rather, no one wants to be, and before you're like, I don't care, you care. No one wants to be unpopular. Like, no one walks into school and is like, I hope everyone just despises me. I can't wait. No one walks into school like that. And if you're the one who's like, I do, you don't. Okay, you don't. Because no one actually desires that. No one wants to go in that way. So you go in with the idea of, I hope people like me. Now, you may be like, I don't want everybody to like me, but I hope people like me. You have your own interests, your own desires. But here's where Christianity and society collide. Society will say, if you want to be viewed as this person, the person that everybody likes or whatever, you have to act, do, be around a certain group of people. You have to be with them in order to be viewed in such a way. Christianity says you go after the people who in society's mind would be undesirable, and those are the ones you go after. Why? Because you're not putting your own interests inside of what you're supposed to do. You're putting others' interests before your own. So we are going to be a place where no one sits alone. I know you've got your besties that come and they're with you and you enjoy sitting with them, enjoy hanging out with them. All for it, man. Go out on the weekend, have a great time, go see a movie, you know, buy me something, go enjoy life with your friends, okay? But when we're here and you see somebody who is sitting alone, it's time for us as a youth group to say, you know what, I'm gonna put someone else's interests before my own. And even if, God forbid, you're not on speaking terms, because, you know, they left you on red. So I'm not going to speak to them because they left me on red. So yeah, I'm just going to leave it alone and I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay. Even if you've got that, I understand it's a major issue. How dare they, right? Listen, people, you could save yourself a lot of drama and just turn off your red receipts. Okay. Just turn them off. Okay. Just turn them off. Because, I mean, I have mine on because I respond to you people, but if you're not going to respond to people, turn off your red receipt so at least they don't know if you've read it, okay? That'll save yourself some drama. But anyways, even if you've had that type of drama with somebody and they're sitting by themselves, it should not have to take your youth pastor standing up and going, hey guys, what's one of our house values? Jesus is better. No, not that one. We speak highly. No, not that one. We are note takers. No, not that one. We are people bringers. No, not that one. We love deeply. No, not that one. We speak God. No, not that one. Guys, no one sits alone. Oh, there's someone sitting alone? I didn't even notice. Okay, it shouldn't take me being like, hey, someone is sitting alone for us to see it, okay? Why is that important? Because at 4:12, Jesus is better than anything you can stack up against him, even your own desires, even your own interests, even your own wants. And some of you girls are like, well, if he's a hot guy, I certainly won't let him sit alone, okay? Or guys even more so like, well, if that pretty girl comes, she ain't sitting alone. We're not talking about that, okay? We're talking about making sure that people have someone to sit with them. If you're visiting a youth group and you don't know somebody, let's say someone's parents come and they've got a teenager. A teenager comes downstairs, doesn't know anybody, okay? And they walk in and they go sit in the back and everybody else is sitting up here and they sit back there the whole service by themselves. You may think, well, maybe they wanted to be alone. It doesn't matter. Even if you go back there and say, hey, you want to come up and sit with me or do you mind if I sit with you? If they're like, no. At least they know that you tried and that you cared about them more than you cared about the awkwardness of asking someone to sit with you. So because Jesus is better, we will speak highly about each other. We will. And if I hear you saying something negatively about each other, I will stop you, because we speak highly about each other here. We do. And I will stop you from speaking negatively about each other. But we also are going to be a place where we enjoy life. We're going to have fun. Camp was a blast. It was awesome. We will have the next step in October that we'll go to. We've got all kinds of things throughout the year where we enjoy life and we have fun doing it. But we're also going to be a place, because Jesus is better, that no one sits alone. This is your family. Some of you have major family issues. Some of you don't have a dad. Some of you don't have a mom. Or some of you have a deadbeat dad. Some of you have a deadbeat mom. Some of you have all kinds of issues within your family. You're living with grandparents. You're living with a step parent. You're all of these issues within a family. Shouldn't there be one place where you can go and feel like you're part of a family that isn't dysfunctional? We're dysfunctional, but I mean, isn't dysfunctional like that? Man, I want 412 to be a family. We're a larger family, and that's Harmony. Don't just think that you should show up Sunday nights at 6 and Wednesday nights at 7, and then you've ticked off, you know, oh good, I was part of 412's family. No, we're part of Harmony. Harmony is a family. We are just a little knit group of our age group down here. So we are a family, and we will treat each other as such. Next week, we'll cover some more house values, but look at that. That was, what am I at? 16 minutes and 40 seconds, if I haven't told you the truth. I got 4 minutes, so let's keep going. I'm kidding. All right, so, just a second. So before we dismiss in prayer, I'm going to tell you this, but part of me doesn't want to, because I saw how trashed the teen room was last week. So, number one, I didn't give you papers this week because I picked up most of them last week. But beyond that, we have ice cream in the fridge. There are ice cream sandwiches, not in the fridge, in the freezer. But please, please, do not, it's not a sword. You don't need to stab it in someone's face and then when it accidentally drops on the ground, pretend like it didn't happen. You don't need to like smear it over the walls. You don't need to do anything like that. I can even show you, I can demonstrate how to unwrap and put it in your mouth if you need to. But no, but I will tell you this, and I'm being very serious about this. We are gonna be placed, we'll talk about later about everyone contributes. In fact, next week we're gonna have some of the ministry leaders of our church come down and talk about areas you can get involved in the church. But we are gonna be a place where everyone contributes. That means we are gonna be a place that takes care of the area that is given to us. If you start dumping sodas and leaving them, we will start charging for sodas. Not because we need to, but because if it doesn't mean something to you, then we will start charging for it. We'll stop having snacks and all that stuff. Not because I want to, I love making you fat. But so you can be like me. But we will stop if it can't be taken care of, all right? Yes. Shh, hold on just a minute.
Mm-hmm. They started at
Shh, Kyle.
For the stage, but like take your cool card out of your back pocket and stomp on it.
It's true. There's always someone cooler than you. Just by the way, there's always someone cooler. Yeah, all right. Miss Brittany is gonna come up for the drawing of the Frostbite gift card. $10. By the way, if you ever go there and you get a large, you won't be able to finish it. I promise you. Oh, Steven, come on up and get it. Yeah, it really was Steven. I promise you, all of your names are in there. So here's the thing: on the 30th, make sure you invite friends. Again, everybody who walks in the door has the opportunity, just like the gift card, to win a PS4. Everybody who brings friends, if you bring the most amount of friends, you get first time friends. Okay, first time friends.
Do the friends get entered into?
I don't have friends.
Yes. To the PS4. Yeah, everybody who walks through the door, no matter, listen up so I can clarify. Everybody who walks through the door, friend or foe, just kidding. Anybody who walks through the door, no matter who they are, besides sponsors, will have their name entered for a PS4. Those who bring first time visitors, The one who brings the most first-time visitors gets the Beats Solo 2 headphones. All right? Let's pray and then get out of here. If you have questions afterwards, feel free to ask me. But then everybody else can go get ice cream. Father, thank you for who you are. I thank you for the group that we had tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful Devin came, and I'm thankful she's here. And Lord, I pray that she's had a great time and just enjoying the time as part of our family. Lord, I pray that as we are here and as we think about and talk about who we are as a youth group, who we are as a church, I pray that you would help our mission statement would be on everyone's minds. Tomorrow as they go to school, would they understand that in order to change our community and our world, they have to grow into a passionate follower of you that loves you first and foremost, but then the people around them. And would you give them a love for other people so that not only would 412 grow in the number it reaches for you, but would we grow individually in our love and in our passion to follow you? It's in your sons and we pray. Amen.